Happy effing New Year. It is on the, I don't know what the word was that I was looking for, not premise, but whatever. We're on the verge. How's that? We're on the verge of 2024. And just now I was driving to see the sunset and I heard a song called I Want to Go Home by a guy named Anthony Oliver or Oliver Anthony. I don't know. It was on my Spotify list. I liked the way he was playing it. It was acoustic. And he was like talking about how he wanted to go home and he was sad. And then it kind of hit me what he was talking about. And I'm not saying the brother is a Christian or not, but I'm guessing he probably is because the way he was saying it was like, oh, well, you know, everything's gone to shit and people don't care and take me home, Jesus, take me home. And this is something that always affected me with the church when I was going to church was that people were always like, I can't wait for Jesus to come back and take us all home. Why? Because the world is horrible. Okay, so why don't we all focus on changing it then? Well, because that's not the plan. The plan is to wait till he comes back and then we'll all be happy. So we're all here to go through torment and suffering and bills and all the other things that like bother us all day long because we're supposed to wait for this 2,000 year plan. Yes. Well, that seems like torture in a way. I mean, that doesn't seem like something that, you know, an unconditionally loving being would put his children through. Well, it's a test. It's a trial. Okay, but why am I being tested and trialed? Like, what did I do wrong? I mean, I've done plenty of things wrong in my life, yeah, but all the way down since the beginning, you're telling me that this is all just a test and trial and see where the errors are? I don't get it. What I'm getting at is, you know, we can all sit around and wait for Jesus to come back. And, you know, I in my own ways, pray that he does come back. It'd be a wake-up call. But to sit here and deny, it's bad enough that I have to hear it from my pessimistic and, you know, nihilistic and narcissistic friends and family that, you know, think the world is shit. And listen, I agree, the world is shit. But guess what? What I'm getting at is, it's not completely shit. I mean, it's not God's fault that everything that's happening is happening. It's not the Lord's fault, and it's not the devil's fault. I know you, everybody would like to believe that, but it's not. It's your fault. It's my fault. It's our fault that it's like this. Because some of us just don't give a shit, and some of us just don't give a shit in the name of religion. And that's what it all boils down to. It's everybody being out for themselves and only caring about number one and accumulating more and more things to put in their box, which is your home, because that's all it is. It's all boxes. We live in a box. Everything is a box. I drive around in a box. I go to a big box to buy little boxes, and I bring them home and put them in my other box. And then I watch a box that has moving pictures on it. So, but meanwhile, we're sitting here. We're saying, oh my God, I want to go home. I can't wait till Jesus comes back. I say to people, why don't you kill yourself? We can't do that. It's a sin. Doesn't say that. Doesn't say that any place in there. And actually, in the Bible, people did commit suicide. So I don't really get how that works. But I'm sure everybody can pick out a verse someplace to prove me wrong. Folks, even on your baddest day, everything around you is still beautiful. You just have to notice it. I am sitting here right now hoping to see the sun go down, which is probably 99% sure not going to happen because there's so much clouds in the sky. But guess what? The sun is still there. And while I may not see it go down, I'll see some colors. I'll see something. I'll know that it went down. You have to have an optimistic look on it. We can't all just keep going around and saying, oh, when Jesus comes back or when Allah comes back or when whatever atheists believe in will come back. I mean, I was an atheist and I didn't believe anything. I just figured we'd nuke each other. But until that day, even until we nuke each other, We can try to make it better. Everybody has just given up. And I saw that so much in religion. And it's sad because I know people, and I knew people from the church that have so much to offer the world or even just their community, but they were so set on it being the end times and it's coming that they may have cared for those in their church, but they didn't let it go any further than that. And to me, that's just, I mean, I'm not even going to try to cherry pick words. It's just stupid. You know, it's selfish. Like I once somebody asked me, you know, I have a good friend that's, he had to actually baptize me. And to this day, I thank him for doing that. You know, and I love him because he's never pressured me or anything like that with God and religion. He's accepted my views as of now, but he once said to me, he's like, it's going to be great, brother, when Jesus comes back and he takes us all up before the trials and tribulations that everybody on earth will have to suffer. And I looked at him dead in the face, and I still feel this way. Maybe it's just because I'm not saying I'm anybody special, but I wouldn't be able to be sucked up or whatever was going to happen, beamed up or harvested or whatever happens, knowing that friends and family were going to be here to suffer. I would turn down the invitation in the hopes that maybe I can get somebody else to change their mind or maybe see a different way. I just, that's who I am. Even in my worst states, in my worst days, in the way I was at one time, I don't think I could have left anybody behind like that. I understand, and trust me, I was a fundamentalist, Bible-thumping fundamentalist for a while. I mean, although, if any Christians ever listen to this, they'll say I was never a Christian because of my views now, but maybe you're not a Christian. So, you know, it's one part that I always like to reflect on when people tell me that I'm no longer a Christian, that's when Jesus asked, where were you when I was in jail? Where were you when I had no food? Where were you when I was sick? Where were you? And what did he tell him? I don't know if I'm in his good grace. I really don't. I don't let it concern me as much anymore. I was on a one-way trip to hell probably before this, so if it's the same thing, it's not going to make any difference. But if I can help change people's minds to realize that this world is not as bad as they make it out to be, and that there's a lot of beauty in everything, in every blade of grass, in every leaf, in every bird flying over, in every bird poop on your car, everything is beautiful. I know it may seem passive-aggressive to believe that way, but how can you not? How can you think? Everybody says, oh, my life sucks, and this is happening, I can't wait for it to be over. And then a couple weeks later, you see them having a time of their life at a barbecue. The sun is still there, even when it's cloudy out, folks. It's still there. You may not be able to see it. You may not be able to feel the warmth of it on your face, but it's still there. That is a blessing within itself. So when I hear songs, and like I said, I mean, it was a good song, and I'm not trying to judge this guy, and I understand his message, but the whole song was going on about how things aren't changing, I can't, and it was a song about just being zoomed up and letting the world fall apart, and I don't want to do that. I don't believe that this is the devil's world. I believe that there are definitely dark forces here, just as much as I believe there are light forces here. And I believe that all the negativity that religion and religious people hold, as well as non-religious people, and all their negativity combined, does one thing. It makes the dark force grow. I'm not going to explain dark forces and all that because I don't know what they are. But I've seen some stuff. And I've realized some stuff internally. that they exist. But I am thankful every day that I have been shown that there's a lot of light, a lot of beautiful light. You know, not to sound weird, but sometimes I'll drive by, it's going to sound weird because I'm a guy in a van, but I'll drive by a school and I'll see all those little kids out there playing in the playground, and I can't help but almost cry because it's beautiful. It's innocence. It's light. It's love. And I can't sit here and go, I want Jesus to come back and I want all those little kids to be brought up and brought up to heaven because I want them to have a chance just like I had a chance here. I want everybody to have a chance to come back, to make their own choice. This is more of a rant than anything else, folks, but it's just, it's tiring. It's tiring because it's a lot like my alcohol. When I drank, I never really noticed drunk people. Now, I was never one to get drunk. I would catch a slight buzz, and that would be that. I was never the drunk guy that walked around and wouldn't shut up or would get into fights or would hit on girls or anything like that. I just drank by myself, and that was it. I never noticed any of my friends being drunk. But now, I notice it all the time. I can't stand it. One of my biggest pet peeves about my friends and my family is that they get drunk and they get very annoying. You can't, they'll try to debate you on everything and not let you get a word in edgewise. Now, that same thing plays out in my life with negative people. Because for a long time, a very long time, my life was negativity. You would have looked up the word negativity and seen a picture of me. And it's definitely not something that's completely gone away, and I don't imagine it will. But I see it more clearly now from others. And I almost like to think that it's my father's, my supreme's way of telling me, don't go over there. Or exit this conversation. Or offer them something that will show them that there's a positive side to this situation. That last one is the best gift besides my own conviction that I could have been given. Because if I can somehow help a brother or sister see that it's not all bad, every second of my own torment and pain and suffering and paying bills and all the other things that everybody complains about, it all makes it worth it. If I can offer somebody even a sliver of hope, it's all worth it. It was all worth it. And it will all be worth it in the future. There's a billion videos on YouTube and there's a billion books you can buy about how you should stay positive and get rid of negative. So I'm not going to bore you with all that. But please, stop complaining about how bad it is. Just for a second, take into account how lucky and blessed you truly are. No matter your situation, no matter who's in your family, no matter what you have. I'm not saying take a look at your kids. I'm not saying look at your wife. I'm not saying look at your fancy car or your nice house, your good job, or all your accumulations of boxes inside your box. I'm saying, look around. Go to a museum. Go to an art gallery. Go listen to a piece of music that you've never listened to in your life. Go outside at night on a clear night and look up and just wonder. Be a 5-year-old again. Understand what it means to be in awe. Because that, to me, is when you see it, when you understand all. It's beautiful. All of it. And it doesn't make any sense. It really doesn't. It's all chaos. But it's our chaos. And the longer we sit here and we wait for somebody to come and fix it for us, whether that be aliens, Jesus, whoever, the longer it's just going to keep on doing it. We all know this. We all know that if you don't clean your house, eventually it's going to become a mess. You can either sit there and wait for the maid to come and let it pile up, or you can just do it yourself and decide that, hey, the maid must have quit. And I'm not saying Jesus quit. I'm not saying that Jesus quit. I'm not saying that aliens won't come. I'm not saying that none of them will come. I'm saying that just because even know that the maid is eventually going to show up doesn't mean that you need to keep your house in order. So to sit here willy-nilly and just act like, well, it's all going to be fixed when the end comes is silly. And I really can't see Jesus or any other savior saying, well, you know, I'm glad you guys didn't, you know, try to fix anything and just waited for me to come back. You know, good thing you didn't do any of that. I don't see that. I'm sorry. I don't see it. I see that verse of him saying, when I was sick, when I was in jail, when I was hungry, where were you? I don't know who you are. Go away from me. That I see. It's silly for us to sit here and wait for the maid to come when we have everything necessary to clean the house ourselves. It's a scapegoat. We literally use religion. There are people out there that honestly believe the aliens are going to save us. They use that. A lot of people use a lot of different things as a scapegoat. Not my responsibility. That has nothing to do with me. Doesn't affect my life. I used to be just like that. I still am in some ways. But guess what? It's our problem. It doesn't matter whether you support the war in Ukraine. It doesn't matter whether you support the war in Israel. It doesn't matter if you support what's going on in Haiti that nobody ever talks about. Doesn't matter if you support the orange guy or the old white guy. It doesn't. None of that matters. What matters is that we can, whether you believe it or not, we can change all of this. And to start that, all we have to do is think positively. Oh, Mark, you're talking about some kind of new age manifesting shit. Call it whatever the hell you want, brother. But I have been shown that by thinking positively and speaking positively, not only to myself, but to others, it improves my situation as well as others. So before you call it all new agey and stuff too, go and look at what Jesus says, and he's not the only one that says it, about how it's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you, but what comes out of your mouth. We can't just sit around and wait for the maid. Your mother's not going to clean your room for you. And if you just don't, you don't want to, you just want to wait, you're not going to listen to my message at all, and you don't want to, and you're just going to wait for him to come back, or whoever to come back, or whatever to happen, I really don't see any point of you even being here anymore. Now that's harsh, but You're just occupying boxes that could be given to people that need boxes. I mean, it's 2024, and I've got to honestly admit to you and myself that I'm surprised we made it this far as well. But there's no reason why we still listen. Something probably will happen eventually. As far as I'm concerned, it's probably not going to be man. It's probably going to be something that comes falling out of the sky. And that could happen within the next 10 minutes. But I'm still going to sit here within these next 10 minutes of silence, waiting for the sun to go down behind the clouds, thinking about ways that I may be able to change myself and help others find positivity and that sense of caring that we all have. So maybe it'll all be for all for naught, in 10 minutes, or maybe it won't be. I don't know. But I'm not going to just sit here and keep my eyes peeled at the sky for an asteroid. I'm going to keep my eyes peeled on that sun over there. And I'm going to keep my thoughts on love and good and light, while at the same time recognizing the pain and the darkness and the misery. Because it's important to remember both sides so that you can do your best to help spread the light. It is all chaos, my friends. Be kind. I love you. Happy New Year.